I'm Amy Hughes and I'm here this afternoon with Eddie Rook from Market Weighton over in Yorkshire. Eddie's a beef farmer and we're just going to have a chat through using synchronisation and AI in the suckle herd. So thanks very much for agreeing to speak to us, Eddie. Can you please just give us an overview of your farm, just tell us what you've got?
Hi Amy, we are mainly an arable operation in East Yorkshire, but we also have a suckler herd, mainly a suckler, stabiliser suckler herd. Been doing this since 99, so we were one of the founder members of the BIG group, and we've progressed from there. Running, we're just short of 200 calving cows now. Run all males and females through to slaughter, males through to slaughter with Morrisons on deadweight on their yearling beef scheme, and all females go for potential breeding. 14 months old, 400 kilos.
Excellent. And how long have you been using AI in your herd?
We started 3 years ago.
Okay.
So this will be season number four. Yeah, on the pretense of yourself, actually, I think we'd had a conversation previous to that and thought about using AI for genetic gain. Mm-hmm. So jumped on board of the DIY course and the rest is history, really.
Excellent. So at the moment then, just which stock are you using AI on?
We're using them on our yearling heifers.
Okay.
So all maiden heifers go to an AI bull, a single bull. And then we are trying this year, first time, to do top sort of 10 to 5% cows in the herd. So anything that is ranked in that either top 10 or 5%, we're putting to a top 1% bull out of Cogent's stabiliser.
Okay. Yep. So you said the reason that you originally started was genetic gain. That's what you're after.
Yeah.
What is it specifically that you're looking for when you're looking at your bulls?
Well, we can tailor it. So with us being performance recording, we can tailor what we're looking for. So we'll look at all the yearling females and they write, well, they're very good on growth. They need, let's say, a lower mature cow size or a little more milk, a bit more maternal aspects in their birth weight or anything like that. So then we can go to the catalogue at Cogent and look in there and see what is going to even that spread out. Mm-hmm. So then we'll order the semen and we'll put those yearling females to that specific bull for those specific traits.
Okay. So why not just buy a bull then with those specific traits?
Good question. I think a lot of it is a larger cost. We're trying to be, dare I say, a seed stock producer. So we're producing bulls and females for replacements. So it also helps us with bloodlines. We can use 2, 3, 4 different bloodlines in 1 year instead of putting all our eggs in one basket and using one bull that we'd then have to keep for 4 or 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. And then try and sell him, whereas I can tailor what I need to go across all of our females.
Yeah, because there's a cost associated with keeping a bull, isn't there? A lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you've got to buy him first.
Yep.
And obviously buy him on the pretense that he's working. Which should be done, you know, semen test. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to run him, he's only in the cows 9 weeks at best.
Yeah.
So, and then you've got the rest of the year to look after him, make sure he keeps sound. And then another semen test a year after, and who's to say he hasn't failed something, he's been damaged or whatever. So, yeah, you've got however many thousand to buy, and then probably another £1,000 a year to look after him. £500 to £1,000, I would have said.
Yeah.
To keep those bulls in shape.
When you're looking for bulls to buy, can you always find what you want in a stock bull? Are they ever perfect?
I don't think anything's ever perfect,
no.
Is it?
No.
You know, you could look at the EBVs and say, right, he's in the top 1% of the breed average, but there'll be something in there that is not absolutely mm-hmm. bang on what you need. So it gives you the ability, does AI, to tailor it for what you actually want. Yeah, a lot more. You know, you look at the catalogue now and there's 6, 7, 8 different bloodlines in there. All giving you a different option.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. So how's it gone so far then in terms of conception rates?
Reasonably well, touch wood. We as I say, we did the DIY course. I did it a week before we actually synchronised the heifers. And we got 52% the first year. And I don't think we've dropped below 55 since then. So we've been
that's
okay.
Good then, yeah.
Yeah. I think using maiden heifers has helped.
Yeah.
The most fertile. Mm-hmm. We'll see this year when we use the cows.
Yes.
That could be a little bit more interesting.
And are you doing anything special with your heifers beforehand to get them ready?
Yes and no. We grow the heifers on once we wean to do about 0.8 kilos a day gain. Mm. We don't want them to do any more, so we're not pushing them. And then we get them out nice and early. I find that's key. Get them out onto grass nice and early so they're on a rising plane of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them getting too fit, so you don't want your best sort of silage ground. You just want them on a nice, decent pasture near to the farm, and let them tick on at least 6 weeks before we're due to AI. Weather dependent.
Same groups and everything.
No same mix. Group. Yep. So we'll mix to begin with if they're in different pens. So we'll pull out, let's say this year we're doing 35, so they'll have been in three different pens this year. So we'll pull them out and we'll turn them out all as a group that one day, and then they'll be left 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, so they're settled for a while. Settled, then before.
Yeah, there's no pecking order trying to be found. Mm-hmm. They know that, and then they're ready to synchronise and AI and hopefully hold.
Excellent. So just remind me, how many are you doing this year?
Doing 35 heifers and 20 cows.
Okay, and first time you're doing cows. Excellent. So just tell us a bit about the sync programme then that you're using.
We use a fixed time AI. So bring the heifers in, cedar.
Yeah.
And this year we're doing a receptile. Day 6 we'll prostaglandin. Day 7 pull the cedar. And then 66 hours after that we'll single. This year we're single survey AI. Once they're all on heat.
Okay, and how do you find all that labour? Because I think that's what puts people off, isn't it? The faffing about.
Yeah. Year one was a learning curve. Mm-hmm. We're lucky where we had them. We turned them out of the shed next to the farm where we had the handling pen, which was easy for that respect. But once they hit grass, they don't want to come back.
Yeah.
I think once we got them trained to coming into the crush or into the yard, they weren't too bad. I wouldn't want to do it if you had to run them a long way. Otherwise, you'd be going crackers. But I think they do get fed up. But once they've been in and you've handled them a few times, they kind of know what's coming. They're not too bad. And to be quite honest, once we've AI'd them and we've thrown them back out onto the pasture, which is literally next door, which we're lucky with, when it comes to calving or doing any other handling with them, they're quiet.
Yeah, makes
really,
it easier.
Really quiet. I noticed this year, some of the ones that we'd AI'd last spring, they were really quiet. They'd calve down, so you go in there, look at the calf, and they were just weren't bothered. Sometimes, you know, maiden heifers, they wonder what the heck's going on. They were quiet, they let us do anything we needed to do to them if we needed to, and it actually helped further in their life. Yeah. For us, for management. And yeah, it does get a little bit difficult, probably the second time you're putting them through, because they're thinking, oh, you're going to trap me again this. But after that, they're kind of used to it. After you've done that, pulled the cedar, they're quite happy to come in there. The 3 days later to be inseminated.
And really, you only need them close by, don't you, for what, 10 days I think in total? And then you can,
yeah, you're only
can
on
go
a 10-day period. Yeah. So you're getting next to the farm, getting used to someone going in there a lot of the times. And to be quite honest, last year we left them in because of the weather. We couldn't get them out. So we left them in on their diet that they were on all year. But they had sort of access to the back paddock, and we just left the gate open into the handling pen, and they were actually quite happy to wander in and out. So I think this year, when we do the first protocol to them, so put the cedar in, we'll just leave the gate open, the yard off, and just let them wander in and out, so they get used to it.
It's coming in, yeah.
So yeah, familiarity of what you're doing, try and do it, even if it's a bag of corn or something like that, just to get used to you.
But presumably, handling facilities important. You need a decent.
Oh yeah. We were lucky. Because we're handling quite a lot of cattle down at our main handling facility, we put one in. We didn't have anything there to begin with 10 years ago, and we put one in, and that's paid dividends. You know, two of us can manage. We've got the ability to lock them up nice and safe and keep us out of the way. They just walk through the crate. A lot less stressful for everybody. If you're not winding them up, they're quite happy to go in. So yeah, if you've got a good handling race, it will be a lot easier.
I suppose if you were really working with animals that weren't being used to being handled, you'd maybe want to run them through a few times before, wouldn't you? Because I suppose stress can be having a bit of an impact on conception rates, do you think?
Yeah, if they're jumping about, wriggling about every time you put them through the crush, they're not going to hold.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're on a high herd health scheme and you've turnout things to do, whether it be a bolus or whatever, do it the week before and say, right, well, they've got used to that one then, or even do something 3 weeks before just to get them used to going through the crush. I know a chap always told me, he said, even if you're not going to do anything with them but you want to turn them out, just make them walk through the crush. Don't do anything to them, just make them walk through it. And it helps, anything like that. The more they're handled, the quieter they are.
Good stuff. Okay. So you said your heifers are doing about 0.8 a day. Have you got a target for mature, you know, target weight that you want them to be at bulling, roughly?
Yeah, we use 400 kilos at 14 months.
Okay.
We know then at 14 months they've come to sexual maturity. They're starting to cycle. and 400 kilos. We just found that as a good guide to, they've got a bit of frame on them then, they're starting to put a bit of flesh down, and they're looking like they're going to go into maturity properly, turn into a nice size cow. So we use that as a real good guide. If we wean at, let's say, 290 kilos, 0.8 a day roughly gets you to 400 kilos by the end of winter, 2 days or whatever it is. So I use that as a really nice guide. We weigh them 3-4 times through the winter, just to get an idea of how we're doing.
That'll get them used to going through the crush.
Get some used to going through the crush. And yeah, we've found that 400 kilos seems to be sort of
a... And that sexual maturity thing's important, isn't it? Because some of these sink programs will only work on heifers that are... I mean, yours isn't so bad, the one with the cedar, but if you were to use something like a double jab of prostaglandin, they've got to be cycling.
They've got to be cycling, yeah.
Otherwise,
and if they're not, well, it's not going to work. And that's why, again, why we say 14 months, we know by then they are into maturity and they're starting to naturally cycle. A big thing, because if you don't check them and you know what you're looking for, you could just think, well, yeah, they're a year old, they must be into maturity, and you're just wasting your money.
Are you doing some pre-breeding checks then, or anything, pelvic score, anything like that?
We don't do that at the moment, no. We do get the vet to check all our heifers before we sell any for breeding. Mm-hmm. And I kind of use that as a guide. This year we're doing 30 or 40. He just sticks his hand in, makes sure their ovaries are all right. They are coming onto cycle. So I kind of use that as a guide. Pelvic scoring, it's sort of been muted around our stabiliser guides, whether we want to start doing pelvic scores. Mm-hmm. But again, you're going on to, we have low birth weight anyway. So we shouldn't have an issue, but it is something we're muting about.
I think it's something the guys with the more continental breeds have started doing. I know that the Simmies are doing quite a bit of it. So let's just have a talk about the actual AI then. So you do that yourself?
Yeah, I do that.
And you said that you did a course just before you were due to serve your first lot. How was that?
We did it up at Ripon with XL and end of April, and it was snowing. But the course itself was great. You had, what do we have, half a day in the classroom, just talking through what was what, they knew they what to look for, and then into the lab to look at all the reproductive organs laid out on a table, which was excellent because it actually gave you visibility of what you're looking at. Because sometimes you put your hand in the cow and think, what on earth is that looking, I'm feeling? And then we went out onto a dairy farm for 2 days. Brilliant. Not only doing the AI course helps, but for everything afterwards as well, you learn how to see if a cow is cystic, whether she's in calf, obviously you've got to check for that before you start doing things like that. And then obviously actually AIing as well, we got some great help with the vets up there, fantastic, and it gave you the confidence to actually go behind a cow and do it yourself, know what you were doing and look at it as though, I can do this, and you can then see a way forward. It kind of spurs you on to do a bit.
I was just going to say that, because a lot of people, especially on the suckler side, because we're breeding, you know, we're block calving generally in the suckler herd, a lot of people are worried about getting enough practice in. You just got on and did it. It was a bite the bullet situation.
Yeah, it pretty much was. I think it was more stubbornness on my part that I was going to do this, I'm going to do it. I was lucky with the timing. There was a course a week before, and I thought, we're coming to the end of calving, they can deal without me out in the yard, so go and do it.
Yeah.
4 days, I think I was. Yeah. And I had a week off, as in lining the heifers up, and went in and did it. So it's really fresh in your mind. And it was bite the bullet. I think that year we did 25 heifers. I mean, the guys up there were sort of thinking I was crazy, but, you know, we did it. And I found heifers, although they're quite difficult to get movement in because they're quite small, I found them a bit easier to do. You're not digging around for things, everything.
It's all handy, isn't it?
Reproductive stuff is there inside, so I found that really good. And the other good thing they do is they do a fresher course, so you can go back every
just
6 months
before the start of next year
and just get your eye in again. And
I think that's the way to do it. I think if you're going to do one, do it just before you're due to serve some, because it's a manual skill, isn't it, like anything else? You've just got to get on and practice it.
And there's a lot of it's like muscle memory. It's playing a sport. If you don't do 6 months,
I bet your arm was hurting.
don't ask. You're only doing 6 at a time and having a rest.
Good stuff. So, and then you had another one of your lads that worked for you. You did it with our funding, didn't you, this year?
Yeah, that's right. We did him in October, rightly or wrongly, but it was the only time I could get my course. Yeah. So what we did with Chris was, he did the AI course, and then we were weaning.
Okay.
So we did some PD in. So he kept his hand in.
Yeah, literally.
Excuse the pun. He kept his hand in just to find out what was going on in that. And again, this time, we're going to share it between us. So I've got a little bit more experience than he has, so we'll both do a few and then hopefully shake the rust off and away we go. And with us having 50-55 to do, it'll...
There's enough to go at.
Yeah, there's enough to go at.
Good stuff. So all your kit then that you need, your tank and everything, is that a big expense?
When you look at it in year one, yeah, it is. You're thinking, bloody hell, I'm spending all this money on, I'm only going to use it once every 12 months. But... rightly or wrongly, I bought mine from Cogent. Mm-hmm. They were doing a deal, and we all our Siemens stored there from Stabiliser. And they said, look, we'll do you a deal, a brand new tank, all the kit comes in a box, everything you need is in there. And that was just over £600. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, that's... And it is a lot of money, but I know there is people out there or companies out there doing second-hand ones that are much cheaper, half the price. And once you've got the kit, you've got it. You can store whatever you like in it. Mm-hmm. And as much as you like, you can have it on stock for, oh, actually I'm going to start an auto herd, it's there ready for you to use, or, you know, store it for next year or whatever. It is quite a lot of money, but then when you look at trying to buy a bull,
it's nothing, is it?
It's not a
massive amount. Not for a piece of kit, you know. Yeah. If you look after a tank, it'll last you 10-15 years.
Well, I was going to say £600 over 10 yeah. years, it's not a lot of money.
No.
And we've got 5 different bloodlines in ours now that I can pick and choose.
You keep
between.
That full all year, do you, with liquid nitrogen?
Yeah, so yeah. The thing with Cogent was they would supply me the tank and they would do 3 90-day checks. They would top it up, and that was just in a contract charge of however much per year. It's about £50 a year just to come round, top it up, make sure everything's okay and the tank's pressurised and what have you. So pretty simple. And as I say, we've got 5 different bloodlines in there now that I can... think, hang on a minute, I don't need to buy any semen this year because I want to use
this up.
Those up, or because I've got cows coming through that prefer, will be better on those genetics. It, again, flexibility. A lot more flexibility.
I know there are companies now that almost rent a tank just for the breeding season, which I thought was quite a good idea for that don't want to splash out. But equally, if you only buy the semen that you need for that breeding season, you can leave that tank empty, can't you, until a couple of months before you need it.
Yeah, the company, whoever you buy it off, will come and sort it all out for you and just leave it, and then it's empty, and they'll come and prime it the following season.
Yeah, just check everything's working.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do with it. And the gear that comes with it, you don't need to think about, oh, do I need a new AI gun? Do I need tweezers? Do I need a... heater or this, that, and the other. It's all there. It's all there in there for you. So you get, we've got a stopwatch to time how long you need to thaw. We've got a gun warmer. We've got an actual straw warmer, electric plug-in one, sets the temperature for you. Mm-hmm. Tweezers, cutters, lube, sheaths, gloves, the whole lot.
All of it.
That was 4 years ago and we're still using it all. It was great for us.
Good stuff. Just coming back to your sink program then, how important is it to get it right, follow your timings? And
well, if you don't follow your timings, you don't get
it. Might as well not bother.
You might as well just throw it into the air. Basically, when you put the seeders in, putting the seeders in isn't time important. As long as you get them in, let's say midday, and then you inject the prostaglandin 6 days later, whatever time you want to AI, make sure you do the timing right. That's key. So 9 a.m. in the morning would be 11 a.m. 3 days later.
But presumably your vet will help write all this down for you.
Yeah, vets will do it. Our vets are quite good. We're in quite a cattle-heavy area, so they are quite good at things like that. There are breeding companies that will help you. So again, I'm using Cogent a lot. I maybe shouldn't do. They can just print you off, or you can go on their website, find a generic timetable. Mm-hmm. Breed plan. There's loads of people there that you can just find, and it's all written there for you. I like to have it in just in case, you know, you might have a brain fart one day and think, should I have done
that? I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly. So just nice to have it there. But it's very simple. So put the seeder in. We're receptiling this year, and then prostaglandin pull AI. Job done.
Yep.
And you know when to AI because they'll start.
Coming on heat.
Standing heat. You see, I like to see at least 50% of them doing that at the start. And then by the time we've got those first 50% through, the last 50 are
ready to do on fixed time
heat.
AI.
Yeah.
So what are you using then for heat detection this time?
Well, normally we just go by eye. So we'll go 3-4 times a day before and the morning of. But this year, we're going to use some scratch pads. Just a little trick I'd learned abroad was it's still fixed time, but it's making you sure that you're breeding the heifer at the right time. Yep. The scratch cards, they find are brilliant because if more than 50% of the scratch cards change colour, she is absolutely bang on, ready to serve. Whereas sometimes if you're doing it by eye, or you're doing it by maybe the exploding ones, what are they called?
K-mars.
It might just be one that's been prattling about, been silly, whatever. And
they can knock them on stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Start rubbing because they're getting a bit agitated. And so we're going to use that. And as soon as, again, 50% of that heat pad's gone, we'll
get
on
and do it.
Yeah.
See, this year you're going to do a bit of both, then serve on some standing heat and then next time as well.
Yeah, so it'll be, I'm hoping that will narrow our window up and also help us get maybe a bit better conception.
Yeah, because timing's very important, isn't it? Especially with heifers, they often come on bullying sooner than, it'd be interesting actually, sooner than your cows will, just because of their cycles.
And also their maturity. They'll come on a bit quicker. We found that last year, when we'd AI'd the first group, within about 15 days, there was one or two coming a bulling.
Right.
And I know they say 17 to 23, I think the book says, but we found that some of the heifers were coming on a little bit earlier.
Right.
Or a lot later.
Right, okay.
So there was quite a wide span between them. And it was interesting to find the ones that were coming on earlier, back at, you know, repeats.
They were probably ones that you should have made, well, had you known, served earlier.
So, I mean, we did a double shot last year. So we did some in the afternoon of standing heat. And then, well, we did them all in the afternoon. And then we did them again 8 a.m. the following morning, where I think you could have lost some in that 16, 18-hour window.
I suppose it adds to your semen cost as well, doesn't it?
Double shot. And I think if we can find a few more that are absolute bang on heat when we want to do it, we know we're going to single serve and go from there. And hopefully we'll get more conception. I'd like to get up to, dare I say, 60.
Oof.
Don't come and do another podcast next time and ask me how we get 30.
No, it's perfectly achievable, especially in heifers, 60%. It's
yeah, well, that's what everyone keeps telling me. Yeah. So, you know, you like to try and
maximise your chances.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you doing with the ones that don't hold then? What are you doing with those? Sweepable. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll put him in a week after we've served. Again, he's actually a bull we reared ourselves, but he's in the top 5%. No, I'm not wasting those efforts on just an all-around bull. He's one we bred ourselves, so he'll run through all of that. So he'll run through 35 heifers. So he'll go into those first, and then he'll go into the cows as well, because what we'll do, we'll run them as a group after that. There'll be 55 together, but I'm hoping if we've got 50%...
in calf.
He'll only be serving 25, 30.
Are you serving your heifers at the beginning of your calving block?
Yes.
Yeah, so you want them...
So the heifers will be bred a week before our bulls are due to go into the rest of the herd.
Okay.
So I know they'll be coming as a lump right at the beginning, and then the first day of the true breeding season will be the AI the cows, and all the bulls will be going in as well. So let's say the first breeding day will be the 20th of May. We'll do the heifers on the 13th, then the bull will go in.
With the idea being that you want your most fertile ones at the
beginning.
Most fertile.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then it gets rid of long gestation, trying to get them in calf again this annually, potentially.
Yeah, touch wood.
Yeah, I'm hoping this all comes to fruition, but, you know, something will go wrong.
Right, excellent. Okay, so for anybody that is thinking about doing this, what's your top tips?
Do a course. It just before you're going to line your animals up, and make sure you either get a vet to synchronise them for you, or make sure you've got something to go by.
Stick
to it religiously. I mean, I'm a bugger for not sticking to stuff, but I found stick to it and it works. And there you go.
Excellent, lovely job. Right, thanks very much, Eddie, for that. On our website, we've got some resources if you're interested about AI and synchronisation. Goes through a few of the synchronisation options and heat detection and various different things. So go and have a look on there.